Hello and welcome to the MRX Lab podcast, the show from FlexMR where we investigate new and exciting topics on the fringes of the insight industry in 10 minutes or less. Today, I'm excited to be joined by Andrew Cannon, who co-founded the Art and Science of Joy. Andrew has spent his career building a deep understanding of people's values, attitudes, and behaviors to help businesses make better decisions. He says his own business journey has taught him many lessons about leadership, the importance of people and purpose, and the role that joy can play in elevating success. In addition to co-founding the Art and Science of Joy, Andrew is also the creator of EQ Joy, a card game to help children develop emotional intelligence through the power of play. A really fascinating career. And Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris. Pleasure to be here.
Now, I'm really interested in your upcoming project, The Year of Joy, kicking off in January 23. What can you tell us about that?
Thank you for asking, Chris. Well, it's going to be an exciting year. The world as we know it is having great transformation at the moment, and people are facing all sorts of challenges in their life. So the Year of Joy really is designed to give people the inspiration and the empowerment to find more joy in their lives through a whole year program of coming into this online community where they'll be given inspiration, but also practical tips on how to add joy in all different areas of their life, not just their well-being, but also their sense of belonging, their amount of positive impact they're having, their purpose, and last but not least, the amount of fun they're having in their lives.
Awesome. That sounds really interesting. Where did this idea come from? Can you talk about some of the inspirations behind the project?
Sure. I think, originally this concept of how we can empower people to find more joy, but to also make it stick. I think that was one of the key inspirations behind it. We've been doing quite a lot to try and inspire people to find their own way to joy, but finding really how hard that is to make sort of change stick on the one hand. So the concept of having this over a year, I think, will enable people to at least get started in building their joy muscle in different areas of their lives. The other reason, I suppose, for looking at it was that it's a hugely grand area. Joy is a little word, but it encompasses so many things to so many different people. So when we look at something which we have the recipe for joy, so which is how people can use different recipe items or building blocks to build their own joy cocktail, we find, even though there are many similarities, at the end of the day, everybody has to find their own path to joy. But once they found that, if they can connect with other people who are on similar paths, that makes implementing those changes in their lives so much easier than trying to go it alone. That's what our experience has told us. So that was really the sort of inspiration behind why the community, why a year-long project. But we also had an inspiration to how could we leverage my and my business partner, Debbie Schlesinger-Hellman's experience with the insights industry, how we can leverage that connection to really bring this gift of joy to so many people through the wide reach our sector has into people's lives.
I think that's a really fascinating idea. And the idea of a year-long project as well, something that's quite long-term, really isn't something we see all that often. Do you have any sense of what you hope to achieve over the course of those 12 months?
Absolutely. So if we, look at the population, and most of our research we've done on the US population, which is where this Year of Joy will be principally focused, its energy. When we look at that population, we find that only roughly one in five people say they're living joyfully at the moment. And approximately one third say they're not having joy in their lives at the moment. So the first inspiration is, how can we help those who aren't having much joy in their lives? How can we help them build it into part of their daily lives so that they feel that they have this recipe, this this path to actually adding that degree of joy. So we've done a lot of research, so we know how to help people do that. So, you know, that's definitely one of the things we want to achieve. The other thing we're really keen to achieve is to actually empirically measure the power of joy to change people's lives for the better. So I think a lot of us intuitively know that by living more joyfully, you can feel better, you can help others around you feel better, but there's no real measure of that in the world. So we want to use our research, industry connections and experience to actually empirically measure that impact, which will hopefully go on to inspire many, many more millions of people to find joy in their lives.
It's a really interesting statistic you referenced there, that only 1 in 5 people say that they're living joyfully. I really like the idea that you're going to be trying to pin down how to measure how we build the language around talking about joy and what that means, and these recipes as well. I'm curious about your personal journey a little bit. How did you end up in this field? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, that would be its own long story to tell that in its all its technicolor, but we'll sort of give a brief summary of the journey for your listeners. So my own personal journey is that I was a very joyful child, known for always smiling. Actually remember being bullied as a kid for smiling too much, one of my experiences at school. And then somehow I lost that on my journey to be an adult and my journey to be successful in business. And, you know, I lost that sense of joy, that sense of purpose in my life, apart from being successful in business. And that led me down a path where I actually became less and less satisfied with myself, more and more critical, and actually to a place of depression, where I wasn't really in a good way, either at work or in my personal life. And through that dark space, as so many others who have walked this journey find, is once you see some light in the darkness and find your way forward, you tend to find your way to purpose, to what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And the long story, or the short story of the long version, is that I found this path to joy as my purpose and believe that it's my you know, job now to use my skills that I've gained over the years in management, in business, in market research, to use those skills to actually help people live more joyfully.
On that point, I think a lot of our listeners are going to really resonate with parts of your story there. A lot of our listeners are early to mid-career professionals who maybe have had similar experiences where they've kind of lost a little bit of that spark, lost a little bit of that joy. What's your message to them about the power of joy and your advice for harnessing it to achieve success in your personal or work life?
That's a really good question, Chris. I think the starting place is really to try and understand, for each person individually, for that person to understand, well, what really brings them joy, and to break that down into specific building blocks, saying, well, okay, how is my well-being, you know, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual well-being, how should that be bringing me joy? And how isn't it at the moment? And therefore you sort of get a bit of a gap analysis in a way to see, you know, what you want in your life and how you could get, or what you need to change to get there. So you could do that for well-being. You could do that for your belonging, right? Have a critical look at your family, at your life, at your friends. You know, are your friends bringing you joy? It's normally quite a big one. And work, obviously, you know. Does your work, we spend a lot of time at work. Is it aligned with your values where you're working? Is it aligned with your own sense of purpose? And finally, you know, give enough time for fun. When we look at the joy barometers of senior leaders, we find two things that they don't have enough of. They're not having enough fun, and they're certainly not putting enough effort into their physical well-being. So, you know, those are at least two areas where, you know, sort of juniors and middle management need to avoid those traps if they go down this career path of neglecting themselves and also, you know, not building enough time to have fun in their lives. That doesn't have to be all serious.
I was going to ask you about leadership in particular as well, if you don't mind. Is there a role for leaders to help everybody be more joyful? What role do leaders play in that mix?
Very good question. So there's two roles. Obviously, there's a business role where you could look at, you know, how do you create a work environment which allows people to be joyful at work? And that's, you know, somewhat different from what we're talking about today, which is how could leaders help people really find more joy in their lives in general, and therefore how work is integrated into that joyful life. And I think the most basic level is that they need to consider everybody as people. You know, I've worked in enough organizations where they think about people as headcount or FTEs, production units, and they don't really see them as people. And I think without that leadership recognition that, you know, everybody in their organization really is a person with their own life, and enabling people to be authentically who they are becomes really the building block as a leader to create an environment where people can be open, they can be who they want to be, which is so fundamental to finding joy in their lives.
And finally, we are now approaching the 10-minute mark, I'm afraid. So before we leave, Andrew, what's the number one thing you'd like our listeners to take away from today's episode?
Well, the number one thing is that for almost everybody in the world, joy is a choice. We sometimes think it isn't. We sometimes think that externalities are impacting our level of joy. What the research that we found, but also research from the folks of Harvard, has found that approximately 40% of our happiness or our joy is dictated by our own actions. And that's where we want people to focus their effort. Don't think overly about the other 60% that you can't influence, you can't impact. Focus on that 40%. And if you know how to do it, go do it. If you don't necessarily know how you're going to start building your own joy, then why not come into the joyful community that we're building, the Year of Joy community in January when it opens, and get the inspiration, get the empowerment that you'll need to find your own joy recipe, and then join others and go do it. Find your joy, choose joy, build your joy.
A fantastic note to end on. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you to everybody listening as well. We'll be back in a few weeks with a new episode on how to build empathetic businesses that actively listen to customers. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.